Welcome to Hanging with the Masters, Episode 2. I'm Zach Hansen, here with Sheila Applegate. We are the founders of Consciously Awesome. And today, we'll have a special guest for you. But first, how's it going, Sheila?
It's going pretty well. I'm really excited to dive in and hang with the Masters.
All right. So who's our first Master?
Our first Master is Benjamin Franklin, the being, the spirit, the vibration that was once known as Benjamin Franklin.
That's pretty exciting. So why did we pick Benjamin Franklin, or did he pick you?
A little of both, I think. You know, we set, even the whole show, I think, came as a collaboration from both sides. But there were so many, and it was kind of like, where do we start? And it's 4th of July, so I'm thinking, how do I feel about 4th of July this year? I've always had that kind of feeling, but even more so this year. And then just thinking about the founding fathers and how would they feel about it. I have a little bit of an affinity to Ben, because we're living on the land of the Haudenosaunee. And from what I understand, he's the one that spent time with them and brought in some of their government, their way of life, into the foundation of ours. So did it go as he planned? What was that? You know, there's some interesting things. And he's an innovator. He, beyond the government, he created. And that's what we are. So I just think he's going to be fun.
Yeah, life was way different back then, I imagine, before, you know, all the documents and paperwork and officials and, like, creating all of that structure and foundation. And there's a lot of different ideology and streams of thought when it comes to what we learn in school versus what really happened.
Exactly.
Right? So I think he has a pretty cool perspective on that.
All right, I just thought of a random question that we hadn't dialogued about before. And what does he think about man buns? I want to know what he thinks about man buns. He might actually really like them. Yeah. They were wearing wigs with buns and stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, big wigs, you know.
Maybe did he really like flying kites? You know.
Did he really get electrocuted?
Right. Was it just a little shock? Was it a big shock? What was that?
Awesome. So shall we proceed?
Yes. So what I'm going to do, I've already said my internal prayer and made sure I was in the what I call the vortex, which is just really in full alignment with all my energies. But I'm going to just take a deep breath and ask to expand my attention to include the being known as Benjamin Franklin. In full alignment with all that is and all that I am, I now expand my attention to include the vibration of the being that was once known as Benjamin Franklin. I ask that he speak through me and that I be an open vessel for his words to flow, and I give thanks.
And just kind of give me a little nod or a signal.
Yeah, we're just sort of getting used to it. We didn't do a trial run or anything here. So we're just getting used to each other's energies. And I can tell he hasn't been called on in this way. Maybe ever, maybe in a very long time. So I think what we'll do is feel him as he's answering the questions. I think he'll notice me merging more and more with him. Remember, it'll be my voice, his words, and
I feel like Ben's really excited about this.
Yeah. All right, so let me just, I'll probably just dive in now, and let me just take, I know we don't like to have a lot of silence on radio or whatever podcast, but just give me one moment. I really need to merge our energies a minute.
Yeah, no problem. All right, Ben, is that you?
I'm here. Let's get this
All
going.
right. All right. You're our first master being
Whoa.
interviewed on our new series, Hanging with the Masters. So we consider you a master. You're master, your ascended master self.
Oh, I'm honored. I'm honored. And I have to say, it's an interesting thing to be in a woman's body. I just have to leave that
Are you just gonna leave
there.
this hanging there, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us your thoughts about this particular forum?
I think it's a lot of fun, and I think I think you put it out there, and well, I don't know if you've seen them lining up. I think we all think this is great, and fun. We didn't get to, like, we're not us anymore. We're pigments of history's imagination, and we're more than we were. I'm talking for everyone, I guess, first, because I'm coming in first. But we are who we were, and we're so much more. But I think this is just a fun thing to just try to explore, and we'll see what we can do with it. I'm maybe have me back in again later when you guys get really good at it.
In my mind, I feel everybody and the excitement, but in my mind's eye, I just see the picture of the Verizon Wireless commercial where there's a whole bunch of people behind one guy with the cell phone. He's like, "Can you hear
That's
me
me.
yet?" Right?
That's
Yep,
me.
you have the phone right now.
I got the phone. Man, the innovations. Man. Good thing electricity, right?
Electricity is
It's
good.
electricity. It's good.
There's
You guys are liking electricity. I just want to
Yeah.
say that.
It is definitely a hot item here on planet Earth. Can you tell us what you identify most with in regards to your life as Ben Franklin?
Interesting, because of course, I'm alive still as Ben Franklin in everybody's minds, but that's not really my memory of what life was. And of course, now in Earth time, it's been quite some time, but really in soul time, it hasn't been all that much, and we're kind of past time here. So many things to say, but I'd have to say, I was a father. I was a father. I was a man. I loved to read. I loved to learn. I have to say, I saw a lot of the world for someone in my time, and a lot of great opportunities, and I loved creating. And maybe I was even a little bit selfish, because I just, not selfish that I kept things to myself, but I just did what was fun to me. Like, I created what I wanted, and I went where I wanted.
Sounds like a pretty good life. I don't know that most of us get to do that, even in today's time.
Yeah, now I'm not saying it was all easy, but for all the people that lived in the time that I lived as Ben Franklin, man, I had it good. Let's just say
Yeah,
that. I
good.
had it good.
You said you like to travel a lot. Where, or you got to travel a lot. What was your favorite area to travel?
I did see a lot of, I did see quite a bit of the world for that time, for sure. But if I'm truly honest, and haven't teared up in a while because I haven't had a body, but I'm feeling this vessel, Sheila. I'm feeling her feet. And no, we're not on the earth, but it feels like the earth beneath her. And it's this land. to be honest with you, and I'm not saying this because you invited me here, maybe my memories have changed over the eons, but right here with the Haudenosaunee, the people of the land, they gave me something. People. You know what? I just liked people. I liked people everywhere. I liked learning from people. I liked seeing the different ways. Yeah.
How much of the United States, or before the United States, how much of our continent did you get to see in your travels? Mm-hmm. North, south, east, west?
I went south and north a bit and a little bit west. It's so hard the way you guys, oh, this is fun too. We're using her. We got some new words in here. You all, see and travel and move so much more now, but it seems like I saw quite a,
it's all relative, so,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, so much, you know, one straight line here and one straight line there, or, you know, it's just so different. It's not even the same place.
So, word in the history books says you were an inventor, and you just said yourself that you love to invent and read and create. So, how did you get your inspiration for your inventions? Did that come through dreams or intuition? Were you aware of spirit guides at the time? Tell me your creative process.
Well, I definitely heard voices. I had visions, I guess you would say. I thought it was everything. It's like my mind just worked, and I saw pictures, but I also saw patterns, and I definitely got some ideas that felt like they came from outside of me. Dreams. Sometimes I woke up in the middle of the night. I just seemed to know how things worked. I'm thinking here now, and you know, a friend needed help and came to me, and the catheter, you still use it today. I don't get credit for that too much, but I went to sleep and I woke up with a sketch, and then I had to figure it out, you know, like it had to put it all together. So I guess it's like it is a team effort. I was just me. Well, of course, when I went to the Haudenosaunee, we're back to that, but they did talk about spirit guides, so I got that concept into my mind. But before that, I just was me. You know, this vessel that we're using right now, we're using her, but, you know, Sheila, we watch her, we watch you all. And you kind of look at her sometimes, and she seems so perplexed at the way other people see the world. And I can relate to that a lot. I was often perplexed. I can't say that I know what it was like not to be me, but kind of is all of it together.
So you're saying you kind of had a unique perspective. You were just you. Was there not this idea of spirit guides or intuition or musing or anything like that? in that time. So now, as we're talking, we kind of on for dissection and understanding, we do dissect and delineate and label lots of things, even though they're one thing, right? So we can relate to them. But in your time, it doesn't sound like maybe that was a thing where you were just you. Was that you or was that culture?
I think there was a little bit of both. I think, we had some different religions happening at that time, and there were certainly fears, and there were certainly beliefs that in the devil and possession. So I had to be careful with how I spoke about my thoughts. I could just see things in people. I could see things in situations. I could see truth in different ways. But certainly there were also groups of people that weren't afraid of that, that was a natural way of being. We needed our intuition, our instincts to survive. We were given more permission. So, because I invented, because I was thinking, as you now say, out of the box, but I was bringing in useful tools that other people could use, I was given a free pass.
A free pass to being weird.
Well, some people thought so. We had some good times though.
That's good. That's good. As we record this, we're on the land of the Haudenosaunee, as you know, or the Iroquois. According to our history, you spent time with the Haudenosaunee. Can you tell us how this influences you as a person, and how did this impact the influence on the United States government?
That's a big one in a lot of layers. I was really touched. I was very saddened with the way, well, see, when the Europeans, the British first came over to these lands, there was maybe an arrogance that they had a way that other people didn't. They knew more. We've heard the savages, but those people also helped, and they see at the time of the Revolutionary War, they were helping. So it's a very layered relationships that were had with the people of this land. And I saw this group of people. And I was amazed at the organization, the rules that they had, the government, really, though they would not have called it a government, but a government is governing. That's all it's supposed to be, is a moving, evolving system that allows for potential growth. So I just loved to watch people, to be with people, and they welcomed me in. I wanted to learn as much as I could. They had inventions that we didn't have. They had ways of seeing the world, the earth, and I was very touched. I was very touched by their way of life and the peacefulness of the way they were working together. Of course, it was at the same time that we were in many heated debates about whether this was a country, multiple, you know, we had just discovered, in our arrogance, discovered this vastness of land that hadn't been delineated the way the other governments had in Europe. And we were trying to decide, and we had this vision of whether, or disagreements of whether they should be multiple small countries or big country, how it would work, how we would work together. And then I was with the Haudenosaunee, and they had already worked this out. They had smaller tribes that were part of the big tribe. So there were the Oneidas, they were the Mohawks, there were the Onondagas, there were all these groups of people running their tribe, in a way, and then coming together for some of the bigger issues, and when they needed to team up. And to me, that was brilliant, and it's what we needed. And so I brought that to my brothers, and we did try to mimic that with the states and the federal. So it impacted a lot, you know, in a way, why reinvent the wheel? But there were so many things we couldn't foresee. Personally, I was just a better person. There were things that I, you know, we just talked about my visions, my way of being, that there were parts of me that fit more at home with them, and then parts of me that were more at home with my other friends. Did I answer your question?
In a way, let me dig in a little bit bigger. It sounds to me like you're kind of an old soul back then, so to speak. That's what we'd say now, is that, yeah, you've walked many, many lifetimes with many different people. So here's a question. In the Haudenosaunee Confederacy, women play a very important role. How did that get translated into the United States Confederacy at the time of conception?
Funny you would use the word conception, right? When we, there was no framework. There was no framework to conceive at that time in the traditions of the people who were developing the United States government. Women were property. And so to even bring that notion in, we translated it. I'm not saying I'd seen another way, and I saw the importance of the woman. But I didn't know how to. It was so far away from the others' understanding. But if we had been able to reach each one individually, I think many of those men did have a woman that they confided in that was guiding them. But as a culture, that was not acceptable. So that was often behind the scenes. So we put the checks and balances in as a sort of replacement. And I think that we silently felt that it would happen naturally, that most of the men were supported by women, but we did not give them any direct power. We did the best we could for where we were at that time.
Yeah, I think we all do that with what our circumstances are, for sure. So now I want to kind of get into some more, something maybe a little bit lighter as far as history books goes. So there's this author in our time called Dan Brown. He's got this book called The Lost Symbols. And inside that book, it's a pretty cool book if you don't know about it. And he speculates that the founding fathers were Knights Templar, or Knights of the Templars, and in search of ascension. And so there were some pretty cool concepts at the end of that book with, and even a hint that the creativity was divinely inspired for the path of the United States. So that within the core of the Capitol are all the symbols of spiritual ascension. So what do you have to say about all of this mysticism?
You're asking... You're asking, is it time to reveal the truths? We add many layers to who we were.
I haven't even brought up Freemasonry yet or anything like that, right? So, I mean, there is truth. We are seeking transparency and truth in these times.
In this land is buried the seeds of a vision beyond most people's understandings. We have always had souls on earth leading forward. There have always been and always will be souls leading us to the evolution, to the ascension. The earth itself, the collective consciousness itself, has always been evolving and always would be. And where we are now, we were then, and we are beyond. And now I am raising my frequency as you've called upon another part of me to tell you there has been a lot of disrupt on this land. There is a lot of disrupt now. The interpretations have been confused, and that has always happened. Initially, the secret societies were not created to control power, but rather with the understanding that there is power in wisdom. And that the earth was still evolving and the people were still evolving. And the idea, perhaps, that in the wrong hands, it could be misused. And we've certainly seen power misused over and over again. But true power comes with wisdom and therefore can never be misused. But at the same time, I just explained that I could have talked till I was blue in the face about the role of the woman in the government, and it could never have been heard. There were some mysteries. There were some ancient wisdoms that were passed down that could be put right in front of people and would never be seen, but they were not to be hidden as much as to be placed so that when people received knowledge, they had that information, they had those roadmaps to greater wisdom. There is something beautiful in this land that goes far beyond what we created. And there has been, there is so much more to come. And as you're looking now at your government and perhaps it moved forward too young, the system, the country stepped in misguided power. But that isn't from the secretness. That isn't from the symbols. That isn't what the intention was. And we did and continue to do our best to hold the vision of the truth of leadership. And you will see, I believe you will see as things continue forward, that it hasn't been lost, and that what we are seeing now is only the toppling of the illusion. But at the core of this land, before the Europeans settled here, and perhaps even before the Haudenosaunee, this land has been a birthplace of freedom. We may not be representing that to the world right now, but it is buried here, and it will rise in a way far, far from the interpretation that has occurred.
Well, that's very inspiring and gives hope for sure, because I was definitely feeling that you had the, there was a vision and there is a vision, and I see that that vision is, there's no, the potential is very high. I'll say that in my own understanding of that vision being, coming to life. So
there is only so much we can do. We can hold the vision, we can imprint the vision, and we can intend for the vision. But remember also, we had to create a form, a structure, and you've probably fallen in that same frustration over your life. How do you then create the form for the others to find that path? But we do it. We do our best for each generation.
Yeah, so that's kind of, there is a rumor that you wanted to have the symbol of the U.S. to be a turkey. Is that true? And if so, why? Does that have anything to do with the big vision?
It's hogwash.
Hogwash.
Okay. It's hogwash. It comes. It is and it isn't. I do understand. I mean, I wouldn't have made a bird. I just wouldn't have picked a bird at all. But I understand. I know the story of many of the Native people of this land, but there is a story that the eagle is the messenger of Creator. And for that, because it flies closest to the sky, gods. But I understand that, but I don't.
So what would really, you have picked?
I don't really think that the eagle, you know, I mean, think about the. But I'm answering you, but I got some things to say on this. Right. I've been kind of, I happen to think that the turkey has a lot of, has gotten a bad rap. I think that that story was, when you asked earlier about what people thought of me, I think that what they're trying to do in a way with that story is make me out to be the crazy man. In a way, but there's so much, that, you know, the eagle is he ethically good? I don't know. There's things about the eagle that I don't hold. Maybe it got infused. There's a laziness. There's a scavenger type of energy to the eagle, there's a not a scavenger, but just a. The eagle wasn't my favorite bird. Let's say that.
All right.
But having said that, there are so many good attributes about the turkey. Of course, that's not the turkey you know today. You guys created something. I don't even know what you created with your turkeys. I would have been talking about a wild turkey, and I just had experience with them. But I didn't ever say that we. Well, I just analyzed. That's all I did is analyzed things. But anyway, what did you ask me?
what animal would you have picked if it wasn't a turkey or a bald eagle?
Why would we have to pick an animal?
What would you have picked as a symbol for our nation, if at all?
I don't think I could have decided that. We had plenty of symbols, believe me. I thought they were good enough. I like patterns. I like intricacies. I like originality. I just don't think I would have picked an animal altogether.
In your autobiography, you said that as we enjoy great advantages of inventions of others, we should be glad of an opportunity to serve others by any invention of ours, and this we should do freely and generously. How does this relate to the current trends, let's say renewable energy or the open internet, not being censored? Like, there's so many different devices over the decades.
Well, we developed quite a selfish world, didn't we? I would have thought that, I really would have thought that the survival instinct wouldn't we have thought that we would have been past survival by now?
Yes.
And so when we're creating things, we do better in collaboration. We do better when we share. When I don't understand. I know it's only been a millisecond in timelessness. I don't fully understand. It almost feels as if humanity in this regard went backwards instead of forwards. But then again, it was happening while I was here too, instead of learning from each other and allowing all the cultures to be. We overpowered, we all, you know, people wanted their way. I think there's something in human nature. I just feel that the world will be better when we share. And so if I invented something and other people wanted it, I was happy for that. But I have to say, my needs were met. I didn't live a life of survival. Well, we all didn't expect to live as long. We didn't. We were maybe more comfortable with death, too. Certainly, I had enough wealth that I didn't need more. I didn't. I think that's what's confusing to me. I understand the people who don't know how they're going to feed their children or where they're going to sleep at night or if they're going to lose their job. I don't understand the people who have their needs met. times a thousand and still want more. It feels as if something's gone wrong with the psyche.
Well, I can certainly say that from my perspective, something feels like we've definitely taken a step or a thousand backwards, is now most of our wealth is bound up into what we call the 1% these days. But basically, a few people own everything in the entire world. So I agree. And I think that the wisdom that you speak of, true wisdom and true power, is power with, not power over. And I think that's probably what gave, that's why we wrote history books about you.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So in your later years, you were known to be a strong voice against slavery. What reflections do you have about the current race relations in our country?
These are interesting questions, and it's an interesting position to be in right now, because working through this vessel, I am feeling more human than I have in a very, very long time. So I'm approaching this from a different energy and dialoguing with you. But at the same time, I'm also more than this. So in the scheme of things, I do know that we are moving far beyond this, and that we are
In your later years, you were known to be a strong voice against slavery. What reflections do you have about the current race relations in the United States, or in all countries?
Again, as a being here now with you in this body and feeling time again, I would say, wow, I would have thought we would have come further. But spending most of my time beyond time, if that's possible, I understand that it's only been a moment, and I can see the patterns. I've always enjoyed patterns, and that's been my way of finding the path. And when I look from the heightened view, I see a mandala, and we are growing as a species. We are we will be there, but there certainly, if I played a role in the institution that has permeated the vibration, the reality of slavery, poverty, serfism, all of this, racism, for so long in Earth terms, if I could have done more to shift that, or if anything that I did was misinterpreted to prolong this, I apologize.
It's very interesting. Well, let's move on to technology in the current time. So, would you have liked living in modern times? And how do you feel about the technology that we have now versus what you had?
Well, according to your storybooks, I had a kite with a key and some lightning.
Was that exciting for you?
It was at the time. At the time, that was quite exciting. It was all new. The idea, you know, of a light bulb, the idea of so much. And look where it's come. Look at this is the humans, this is the human evolution that we can be excited about, the expanding mind, the brilliance. You know, I love to read. I couldn't get it. I don't know what I would do in a day like today when I could sit at a box, a computer, and I could read infinity. I don't, but then of course it's all fiction. Once you leave your body, you realize in a sense it's all fiction, but how do you, there's so much that there's almost nothing in a way, so much knowledge that there's no wisdom, but that's not true either. I sound like an old man. There is wisdom in this. I think I would have, you know, I sat in a chair and wanted to create a way for a ladder to pop out so I could get to more books. And I mean, and now you have the internet. Like, we were on the same page. I was going for that. I just wanted more and more knowledge, and that is what's brought us here. I loved watching people. I loved looking at people. I loved animals. I loved all of that. And now you can live lifetimes without leaving your house. There's something to be said for that. And then I don't know if I would want to live here. I suppose if I would want to live in this time, then I would be here, wouldn't I?
I guess so. That answers that question, right? So can you tell me about your perspective right now from where you're at? I know this is, we're talking a huge jump in perspectives, but can you tell us a little bit about your perspective and your reality that you're experiencing right now?
Well, I can tell you, and I can tell the vessel that we're working with right now, and I can tell some people, and you're going to understand it perfectly. And some people will have no clue what I'm saying, but I am exactly you. I am exactly you, minus momentarily the physical cells. So I can bring my attention down here. I say down because of the slowness of the frequency. And especially now, I get to move hands and fingers, and I get to feel. I felt a tear run down this cheek, and that was quite powerful to have this opportunity. And I thank you both for this, to have this opportunity to feel those senses again. For the most part, I don't have that right now. In time. But everything else from the five senses beyond the as Sheila speaks of the crystal canyon or the crystal city, the crystalline energy of ascended masters, what we're calling the vibrant earth where we can commune together, the whole vortex into oneness. I'm all of that. I know that if you've experienced that with her, where you move up and down that energy grid and you know what oneness feels like, and you can choose to place your attention in other frequencies as well, that's my experience now. So really, aside from having the gift of these senses, I'm the same as you. You have much more attention on your physicality, on your five senses, and perhaps little attention on all the rest. I have my attention on all the rest with almost no attention on the physical, but it's the same thing.
I do understand for sure. So having all this said, it's been an amazing interview with you, and we really appreciate your perspective, being here in the room and getting to feel the energies. And I know what you mean when you say a lot of things, especially about being here in the land. And there's so many connections that I'm feeling with you right now. And having all of this said, what advice, if any, do you have for us as the listeners right now?
Keep the communication open. We can all collaborate more. And that goes for the non-physicals as much as the physicals. And when I was Benjamin Franklin, I did my own thing. I was me, regardless of what other people thought. And it worked for me. The more people who can do that, the more people I invented because I thought it was the most fun thing in the world. I invented because I wanted to play. I wanted to make my world more fun. I wanted to meet people. I wanted to travel. Yes, I knew I was a part of something bigger, and that was important to me. I was holding a piece, a stone, a brick that would be laid for generations to come. And each generation would bring their bricks and add to that. And I knew that. And we only could carry our bricks, our stones. And I'm winking at you, Zach. I think you know why. But we carried our stones, our bricks. And we were building something, and we did what we could. We held the vision, big vision, and then we did our little part. And we trusted the next generations to do theirs, and the generations after that. And another thing of this land, the Haudenosaunee, the seven generations, that was something that really hit my heart. I tell you, I loved being a father. I loved seeing where the world could go. But we come back to this. What would I say? I would say, carry your brick, carry your stone, and lay it down and put your attention on that. But also put your attention on the big vision, and also trust that the others will lay their stones and that the vision will continue to grow. And this tower is much taller than when we started.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Ben. We all appreciate this.
It's been my honor. I'll tell the others it's fun. It's worth doing. And we give thanks to Sheila as well. I give thanks to the being that we've known as Benjamin Franklin, for the words that he's brought through here and the opportunity to serve in this way. Yeah.
All right. Sheila, how was that experience for you? Do you have any comments?
Well, for the most part, I was observing and listening to and right in it. I probably will have to listen to the recording to catch all of it because I was only part here and sort of, my attention was also elsewhere so that his attention could be speaking through. I did feel, and I don't know if I felt a fatherly. I think he mentioned that, but he joked about being in the woman's body, but the feeling was a very fatherly, gentle wise energy in the cells of my body, if I could say, if I could say that. There, in a sense, there is a relationship that happens with me and the one that is speaking through me. And from a human perspective, it's hard to explain, but almost a whole other dialogue going on, a whole other conversation that's going on between us, but it's beyond words. And so in that, I was very touched by him. I think he felt familiar in a lot of ways. He felt fun. I felt like, and I bet you everybody will feel this, but I felt like some messages were just for me, you know? I feel like a kinship with him.
He's a very kindred spirit to everyone, I think, you know? He loves everybody. He's been around the block for several lifetimes, and he just knows us because, you know, he's probably walked with us in one form or another, I think.
Well, and then when we're talking, we're going to his master self. Mm-hmm. We're going to a frequency where we are all communing and we are all of similar vibration. And so, again, that is part of that familiarity because we know that frequency in ourselves. And he helped us to remember it. Awesome. So I like this forum.
Yeah, me too. That's fun. Good. It's a good time.
Should we do it again?
All right, let's do it again. Stay tuned next time. We'll have episode 3 ready for you with Hanging with the Masters by Sheila Applegate.